This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
This is the conclusion of Jerry Garner's message on Tuesday morning of July the 5th, 1988, Tape 8B.
And the pulpit was out there preaching, only good things come from God. And we're having a marvelous time. Have you read our program? On Wednesday night, we have a sewing bee. Thursday night, we have a bake-off. Friday night, we play basketball. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just revealing for what it is. It's a harlot church. It's playing church. It's an antichrist Christ church. Okay? And I told that preacher to his face with some elders there, I said, you sent that little boy to the hospital to get fixed. They put him on drugs. His roommate smoked. His roommate was in heavy metal music. And he comes out totally warped and rebellious. And they told him it was all right to be mad. And I said, it's not all right to be mad. I said, you, sir, should have called that little boy to the front of that pulpit, called that mama, that daddy, that mama, got all of them down there, rebuked all those foul spirits of lust and divorce and ravaging the land and cast it out and asked a blessing on that little boy. And that's free. Don't anybody ever try to hand me money for counseling. I may read you a scripture. God supplies my needs. Stay off that. Okay. No. Go to the next piece of equipment here. Breastplate of righteousness. You have a breastplate of righteousness from God fitted to you, and it sits on your shoulders, and the Canaanite side of your flesh and the Hivite side of your flesh is struggling to get it off. And a haughty spirit from Proverbs 16, 18, and 19 is trying to pull it off. And a spirit of whoredoms from Hosea 4, 12 is trying to yank it off. And they work in unison. And we can cast out a haughty spirit, and that Canaanite flesh sits there and goes, well, I'll finish the job you started. And if you don't walk home, Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I say, walk out your deliverance with fear and trembling. Be afraid of losing it. Walk on it. We need a maintenance department over here. If you get deliverance, next time you come back, you go in the maintenance department. We're going to teach you how to get rid of the flesh. You ain't got a foul spirit bothering you. You got flesh bothering you. And I already told you, you cannot cast out 1 ounce of flesh. We can do a war dance around here. It won't help. Canaanite literally means, and Brother Tommy Cook said this last night in his sermon, a peddler, a merchandiser, trafficker of goods. That's our man that thinks we have to have goods. We deserve goods. We work hard. I earned that house. I earned that new car. I don't care if there's a family down the street that ain't got a car. My wife needs that car. She drives it twice a month. Where's your God? Where's your idol? It's out in the driveway. Where's your idol? It's on a deed. I'm not preaching poverty, but I'm preaching prosperity and the things that prosper your soul. Not your flesh, man. The children of Israel did not know how to merchandise. They were farmers, nomadic people. They weren't like that till they went to the land of Canaan, and they learned money. They learned weights and measures. They learned all that banking system. The Canaanite rubs those coins together. That Canaanite spirit, like Brother Tommy mentioned last night, is the merchandiser of God's word. And don't you pay some man $45 for 3 tapes with a fancy cover on it. If he's selling the word of God that God gives him, God's going to deal with him. I don't condemn him, but I'm not going to buy his tapes. It's time to put a stop to that. Freely give, freely receive. God's sweeping his house clean. And if you won't come clean, it's going to go to the wayside. You just may go off duty on the Sabbath. I may preach that. No, not this morning. We've got to finish this. Oh, Lord. Thank you. The Hivite. He's the villager. Oh, I wish the kids were here. I used to have a ministry to young people, and God took me out of that for 5 years. I need to go back, I guess, every once in a while. The Hivites. His name literally means villager, life giver, living place, self-preservation. Oh, boy. Y'all. If you want to believe you'll never die, check your motive. if you want to hold on to this life so desperately that you'll receive that doctrine. You'd receive it for the wrong reason. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells you you're not going to die, okay. But don't go in with your doctrine already made up and ask the Word of God to agree with what you've already decided in your own fleshly heart. It's time for truth. It's time for a double-edged sword to split. We might not ever die. I don't know. It's not up to me to decide. It's not for you to decide. Don't be led astray. The Word says, cunningly devise doctrines. He's a party animal. He likes bright lights, music. He even goes to church a lot. Because why? He feels good. Feels good to dance. Feels good to raise your hand. People are smiling and laughing. You don't have to worry about your husband that drinks too much. You don't have to worry about your wife that nags. She doesn't nag during praise and worship. You don't have to worry about your kids that pull each other's hair out and beat each other up. And you dress them up and 5 minutes later they look like a pig pen. You don't have to worry about those things. You go to church, have a good time. Make sure we're going for the right reason. You go to the house of God to praise and worship Him. Not pump up this flesh. This flesh is already pumped up enough. Don't get your little bucket and run down to church and get it filled up on Sunday and then sip out of it all week. I told you that already. I used to do that. I get up and testify, oh, if I don't come to church tonight, I just can't make it till Wednesday. And if I don't come Wednesday, I can't make it till Sunday. If you can't make it out there, you ain't going to make it in here. You're supposed to trot down that hill singing hallelujah, praise the Lord, with your bucket full. Do you know why God's not bringing lost people into the church? They get lost in the shuffle. Because everybody's here in the line, get out of the way, I'll get my bucket full. Uh-uh. You come with your bucket full, and some poor soul that's just barely dragging up the door comes in, you take him and go, whoa, take mine. Take my joy. God will give me more. Take my blessing. God will give me more. We come to bless people, not be blessed. Amen. If you're walking and living it, you are blessed. Amen. Anybody ever get real close to death? Then you know what I mean. Living and breathing is a blessing. That's enough, God. I remember laying in that bed, and it took every ounce of energy I could just to... for 2 months. I appreciate my life. I appreciate enough energy to go and do things now. Don't take advantage of it. The haughty spirit will come to that breastplate of righteousness and try to take it off. Spirit of whoredoms will gather up and pull things to it. When you start merchandising God, your righteousness begins to melt away. God don't care what you got. He don't care if you have enough faith to believe for 2 Mercedes and a house with 5,000 feet in it and 6 bathrooms. Who wants to clean 6 potties every day? And $10,000 linen drapes hanging? Those things get dirty. And how much it costs to clean drapes? If we really live like God meant for us to live, we'd be the happiest people on earth. We've done it to ourselves. I was preaching one Sunday, and y'all, I've never done this, and God, if you ever do it again, I don't know what'll happen. I called 5 people. I was at a visiting church. I called 5 people to stand up. By name, I'd already met them. And I told every one of them, I said, God tells me to tell you, He's holding the enemy off of you right now. You don't need Satan. You are your own worst enemy. And God stripped them clean right then and there. Even the preacher's wife. She was working herself to death, picketing abortion clinics, picketing 7-Elevens, neglecting her home, neglecting the ministry with her husband to walk the streets to try to pound out some righteousness. And there's nothing wrong with picketing 7-Eleven or abortion clinics. But make sure it's in balance. Make sure that your dinner is ready for your children and your husband, ladies. Make sure they have clean clothes to wear. And if God gave you that assignment to go to that abortion clinic, your iron will be done and your food will be ready. And God ain't ever sent nobody anywhere that He didn't prepare for them on the way and when they got there. So don't say, God told me to show up here. Now you got to take care of me. I bet you there have been more hoof prints inside this place. Brother, God sent me here. Oh, I'm so glad we have liberty in the Lord. If it wasn't for liberty, I'd be strung up already. That takes care of your breastplate of righteousness, folks. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. The Amorite, he's your belt of truth. He comes at it. He wants to strip it off of you. It's your tongue. If you can control that tongue, you got the truth in you. That tongue is working against the truth, against the Word of God all the time. He's working to get that belt loose. And in Isaiah 19:14, you're going to find a perverse spirit that if he can't get the belts off, he'll pervert it on you. The spirit of jealousy will rip that belt right off of you. It'll rip the truth from you. I don't care how much of the truth you have, how much of it you speak. If you do it out of jealousy, it's wrong. You can speak the word of truth, but if you're doing it, period. It's flesh truth. Flesh talking. There has been more perverting of the word of God than anything else on this earth. We have used the word of God to hammer a big beehive hairdo on some woman. Thank God there's not a uniform for heaven. Now, some women need makeup. And some women need a lot of hair. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, we took care of the Amorite spirit. Perverse spirit will take it off. Jealous spirit will pervert it on you also. That's your belt of truth. Okay? Don't be afraid of enlarging your belt. Oh, please, anybody. You think you finally got it, and you buy a 32, and all of a sudden you wake up and you're a 42. The truth you were walking in last week doesn't fit this week. God done showed you some more truth. Oh, mercy. We're in trouble now, God. God, you showed me something. Get you some of them spandex pants. Is that what they are? Them elastic kind. Just, okay, God, pour it in. If it's you, God, I'll be an 82. I don't care. Just come on, God. Don't limit God. There are more crumbling churches in our nation right now because they have sat down and they have built a stone idol on the corner with a big temple with a ringing bell, and they have boxed in a little black box of truth and they set it in the foyer. And when you go in, you better read the creed and you better know what they believe. It's dying on the vine. There is a wrinkle in that bride of Christ. We're in family. I can talk about this. The Lord gave me a message one time about the church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. We know what the spots and blemishes are. They're at your love feast. That's those among you. But the wrinkle. You know what a wrinkle is in the body of Christ, in the bride of Christ? Okay, every one of these ladies, you're going to know this. And since I have a medical background, we can talk medical, okay? Your cycle, once a month, that God gave you. There's something forms in there to receive a seed. And it's kind of wrinkled up. And if that seed comes down fertile and fertilized, it implants in that. And as it begins to grow, there's no fold. There's no wrinkle. The Holy Spirit in you begins to grow. And if it doesn't, there's a wrinkle. Your spirit man is laying in folds. It's not growing. And you lady knows what happens after the cycle. It's sloughed off. There's going to be a lot of spiritual abortions and miscarriages going on. Because the Holy Spirit seed has not been fertilized with the holy sperm that's in the Word. There's no life. There's a promise of a life, but it hasn't grown. Let's move down to the sword. The flesh man in you that fights against your own sword is the Gergesite. His name literally means hilly land. Distractions causes one to backslide. He dwells in sand or black mud, and he attacks in stages. Slowly, but slowly. You may really get revved up for God. You may promise God everything. You may go to your word and read and read and read. And then what happens? Somebody comes by and you lay that down. You want to go tell them what you learned. Share with them. That's okay. Then the phone rings. And you go back over here and you start talking on the phone about sister so-and-so and praying for her. The kids come in, they leave tracks on the floor. You got to go get the mop. Your husband calls, hi, what's for dinner? Oh, dinner. Got to go get dinner. Where's the word? It's laying back. Now, things happen in our life. Satan sends little things against us. He sends well-meaning friends. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And the whole time, this is laying over there closed. And that Gergesite side of your flesh man is doing his job. His name means distraction. There are distractions to the Word of God built in to your flesh man. Remember, the flesh is warring against the Spirit. Be sly as a serpent. Remember, gentle as a dove. Be cunning. Understand how the enemy works. And if you get hungry in your tummy, think hunger for this too. Go, oh, that's right. I didn't have my three squares today. I didn't get anything from God today from here. If it means you get up 30 minutes earlier or go to bed 30 minutes later, get you a bite. One scripture. Don't try to read a whole chapter. Don't try to read Well, I'm going to tell you the way God did me. I went back in the back because I was just talk about a baby. I'd go back in my concordance in my Bible, right? This one, very one, 5 years ago when I started coming into the Spirit. And I'd pick out a word like synagogue. I'd write down every scripture that dealt with synagogue. And I'd go over here and look them up one by one. By the time I went to bed, I understood synagogue. Next day, I'd go get me another word. And I'd study every scripture that dealt with that word. And I got understanding in areas. I couldn't memorize nothing. I'd go to lunch now, we'd go over to this real famous restaurant, and I meet two Baptist friends, preacher friends of mine, and one of our elders, he's also, let's always go over and have seafood. I said, okay. So we go, and they make it a point to recite the word to me they have learned. And Satan would love to intimidate me, but y'all know me, I'm squirting nothing intimidates. I don't care. I mean, you can stand up right now and just say, well, Brother Garner, I know that, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and just flows so beautiful. I said, I know, but do you know what it means? Don't be intimidated if you can't word for word memorize the Word of God. That's a yoke of bondage God did not mean for you to have. He said, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Makes a big difference. When I started reading with understanding in Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians, in Christ, blew my mind. Those who are in Christ, and Christ is in them. I in you, and you in me, and we in God. Awesome. Read it. Underline it. Every time you see in Christ, you draw a line. Oh, wow, in Christ. Something will come alive in you. Your spirit man will leap. Smell some sheep food. Don't like dog food. I love sheep food. Oh, boy. Okay, moving on. I may take that hour and 25 minutes. I'm sorry. Got to talk fast now. Lying spirit, Chronicles 18:22 will come against the Word of God. It will lie to you. It will use the Word on you. And if you don't know the Word, guess what, turkey? You're dead as a hammer in the water. Because he knows the Word. That lying spirit knows the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, you stand there going, that might be right. The lying spirit and the jealousy spirit work between a husband and wife so precisely, I used to wake up mad at my wife. I dreamed last night that she was doing so-and-so, and that lying spirit did his job so well, I woke up mad. And it was real to me. She lied to me, and I believed him. I'd pout. She'd go, what's wrong? Wrong. That's the way it was when God told me about deliverance. And one Wednesday night, this guy passed through and preached deliverance. I go, I don't believe that. Jesus is my deliverer. Yeah, turkey. By Saturday morning, I was on my face in my day. And if that person can double up and get on their face, I tell you right now. Because Satan told me I couldn't. And I said, I'm going to prove to you I can. So at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, my nose was in the carpet. I'm so glad it's family. My hiney was in the air. And I was asking God, help me. I had just read Don Basham's book, Deliver Us From Evil. And Pigs in the Parlor. And I go, oh, God, you're kidding. He said, I'm not. It's real. Let them out. And he did. I got deliverance, the starting of it, just like I got the Holy Spirit. But nobody around me didn't know what was going on. I was at a Baptist conference in Fort Worth, Texas, with 25,000 people, and I was so hungry and thirsty I was a dried-up gourd. I'd have drunk anything that day. The Holy Spirit came down on me, and I was standing on my tippy-toes, stretching for heaven, singing in the Spirit, and didn't know what it was. Never heard it before. Never heard tongues. Didn't know what it was. Didn't care. I felt like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I puffed up. I go, wow, this is good. Somebody said, what is it? I said, I don't know. But it's good. I floated out of that Tarrant County Convention Center. I went back to the hotel with those other 10 Baptist friends of mine, and they look at me like, what's wrong with you? And I go, I don't know, but I don't care. But I tell you immediately what happened. Their doctrine and my spirit went... And the very next Wednesday night in church, I was sitting there, let's go, hallelujah, praise God. I don't know what it is, but let's go get it. And the preacher started preaching, and I started reading. I had my Bible open, and it was hard to get open. You know, I had pried it open, and all them pages were stuck together. You know, those kind of Bibles, the kind that never been opened before. You know, ooh, this is a new thing. I opened up my Bible, and I began to look, and those words started leaping off that page, and I'm looking at it like this, and he's a preaching, and I'm reading ahead of him, and he stops. And I want to yell, read, look what it says down here. Oh, look. And my wife's going, shut up. You trying to embarrass me? That was it for 6 months, y'all. Sitting on that pew, rocking and just, I was like this. I didn't know where to go, but I wanted to go somewhere and do something. That was my holy hole period. I was blowing holy holes in everything. I mean, I had a big one of those big muzzle shotguns. Anything come, I didn't know what it was. Nobody told me. I didn't know there were gifts. I never been to the tree. I didn't look under there. There were gifts under there. I didn't know that. But I had a big gun. I didn't know what it was. But man, if it moved, I shot it. If it came near me, I laid hands on it and I blessed it or cursed it. I didn't care. I was determined, God, something's going to happen. I didn't know what. I didn't really care. You're right, straitjackets, first 6 months. Everybody's in the padded cell. To protect the innocent, we'll change names here. I was standing at the shop one day. My wife and I had a florist business then, and I was standing at the shop, and I was reading my Bible, and I had Christian music going on. And one of the ladies in the church, would you let my little daughter come up and work for you? She needs to get out of the house. I said, sure, send her on up. So she came in, and y'all, I truly, honestly know, without doubt, we're going to begin to see manifestations of animal spirits on people. Well, I'm a baby, okay? Baby. I've seen a couple of them now. Physically, their arms hang, and they just walk like this. And she come in the shop, and I go, whoa, what is that? And it was like a boomerang. She came up to the counter, and my Bible was open, and she goes, ooh. And she walks back toward the radio, and the Christian music's going loud. She goes, ooh. And she comes back across the shop, and I'm going, what? I didn't have my gun that day. What am I going to do, God? What is that? I don't want to hurt her, God. And she gets sick in her stomach, and she leaves. That little girl still sits directly behind the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Deer Park, Texas, and it's getting worse. I expect to see her eat flies any day. I'm serious, y'all. It's sad. And that preacher steps in front of her every single Sunday morning and preaches and is bound and doesn't know why. I was at a restaurant in Youngstown, Ohio with Selena Covington. I've been preaching for 7 days at her church. I went up there to preach my nice little canned sermons that God had given me. I was so pleased. Got up there and stepped to the pulpit every single time he changed every sermon. Shuffled them all. I said, wait a minute, what are you doing? What are you going to do, guys? Wait. You know, I did not come to preach deliverance. I came to preach pretty sermons. Deliverance came. I learned if you begin to teach spiritual warfare, you better be ready to duck. I preached about spirits. Wow, they were everywhere. They were coming out of the pews and out of the woodwork. I mean, they were popping up and people go, whoa. She looks at me and I look at her and go, I don't know. Let's pray. When in doubt, let's pray. And she told me, she says, Brother Jerry, the very first time I ever preached, I was preaching at a street ministry in Ohio, and the president of a local Hell's Angels came in. Tattoos, chains, beard, booze, smell. Walked down that aisle right at me, and she said, I'm sitting there, oh, God. She's a big black lady, big eyes. She used to be a gospel singer, filled with the love of Jesus. Just oozed out everywhere. God wants people that'll ooze, you know? He can give you something. He ain't pouring you in a blessing, and then you, okay, cap it off. Okay, I got it, God. Let's don't spill any. Walk carefully. You know, I might need this in tribulation. Slosh it. You pour some out, he's going to pour some more in. You're going to get drunk. You're going to fall down and be silly sometime. He's going to fill you back up when you get up. Amen. Anyway, she's preaching. This guy walks in right toward her. And she's like, she said, I've been preaching the very first time for maybe 10 minutes in my life. This guy walks in and he says, I need help. She said, so do I. He says, pray for me. She says, pray for me. She said, I push that pulpit out of the way. I go over and grab him by the head and I go, oh, Jesus. He falls on the floor. She falls on the floor. He gets up speaking in tongues. She gets up wringing wet. And all that was said was, oh, Jesus. Some of us are trying to get too programmed. Did we leave any of them out? Oh, call them all. Get them all. Write them down. Put them on the palm of your hand so you don't miss one of them. I got their big deliverance book. You know that big one? And I put it in a folder so I could... This guy comes in. He starts rattling off some... Ooh, 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 ooh. Wait a minute. Wait. I've learned my lesson. Thank you, Lord. I've learned my lesson. When God's ready to deal with it, he's going to tell you the name. Study to show thyself approved when you have time in your closet. But when you get out on the street where the warfare is, God's going to give you the name. Because then it's time to come out. I learned two lessons in Ohio. I don't dance with demons, and I don't play patty cake with them either. People come forward for prayer, and boy, we danced all over the front. That devil wore me out. I said, I ain't turning loose till it turns loose. And he said, well, I ain't going nowhere. And we just danced. I said, I love you. He said, I love you. And we went back and forth. When I got in bed at 2 o'clock, I said, God, I'm going home. Every dog in town was howling. Now, you laugh, but every single dog in Youngstown, Ohio howled for 1 week while we were there. Not at each other, individually. They just howled. They heard something we didn't hear. She called me a week later. She said, Brother Jerry, come back. The dogs is howling again. I said, I can't handle that. We're never going to get... I've got to finish this. But anyway, I got to finish this story. So I'm to 7 days. And one day was in a high school full of kids. And God just moved. And I'm just in my mouth wide open. One night... I was praying for a little girl that was having incest with two brothers and had for years, and I began to pray for her, and God said, have every single woman in this audience stand up that's ever been molested. What? Are you serious, God? I expected maybe one or two. The audience was full. You know why God had them stand? God wanted to anoint them with the ability to forgive and then pray for the person that did it. And deliverance came. And guess who the biggest baby of all was? The pastor. Had been molested when she was 7 by her father's best friend while her 4 brothers and sisters were in the living room, and she hated them, the brothers and sisters, and didn't know why. She blamed them as a child for letting it happen. They didn't know about it. And when she got free, that building was bouncing because she was bouncing, and she weighs about 200, and she was over just... I mean, tears were flying, and she was just jumping straight up and down. There's going to be a hole in the floor. And she'll give you her testimony. That's the Selena Covington Ministries up in Ohio. Does a fantastic thing up there. She has a halfway house for prostitutes, a halfway house for drug addicts, an old age home God gave her to take care of old people, a restaurant where she feeds hungry people on the streets of Youngstown today. And every church in town is trying to run her off. And she calls me once a week crying. I said, don't cry, praise. I don't care who accuses you of what and how loud they get. Two preachers in that town, I don't care, God, I'll tell it all. There was a Baptist preacher and a full gospel preacher that come against her so bad, she went to them and asked them, please, can we just coexist in peace? And they wouldn't even let her in her church, in their churches. I don't know if I'll tell you what happened, but the Monday I left that town, oh gosh, this is horrible. I don't say it for any other reason than just to let you know what God's doing. Those two men were found in bed together. Those two ministers. And it was announced all over the newspaper. And Selena's going, those are those two guys I told you about. I go, what? You see, God is going to purge his house. And he'll use any foul, slimy spirit on you to get you clean. He used Nebuchadnezzar to go get the children of Israel and take them into captivity. You better ask God what's going on. Don't yell, help me out, God. Say, God, what's going on and why? And be brave enough to look inside and say, okay. It's me. Okay? Where are we going? Oh, the restaurant. The last morning I was there, Celia and I went to a restaurant. She said, now, Brother Jerry, you're going home this morning. I'm going to take you on the other side of town. Nobody knows you. We're going to have a big breakfast. She loves strawberry pancakes. And I said, okay, let's go. So we go to this restaurant. Beautiful place. No one's there that we know. You know, nobody has seen us that week. And we go, peace and quiet, you know. We're sitting there. And there's two tables. One's right next to our table. And they kind of come together. And there's a kind of a lattice work there. You can, in other words, you can see the people in the other booth. I'm sitting there, and those people get up and leave, and all of a sudden I have a severe pain in my neck. I said, ooh. I said, are you hurting? Because I've learned when I hurt physically, it's for somebody else usually. I said, are you hurting? She says, no, you prayed for my back last night, and my leg grew this morning. I said, oh, okay. God fixed that. She said, well, my neck hurts. So I'm sitting there eating, and man, I'm looking for somebody to pray for. Anybody got a hurt neck. Because if I don't, mine's going to hurt for a while. I'm going, no. So I, wait a minute. Hadn't been 2 minutes. The lady walks in with a neck brace on, you know, to have a table. Guess where she ends up? Guess who's with her? Her father and her son. And they know each other. Selena Cousin knows this lady. So the grandfather and the little boy come around. The little boy gets in the booth, slides over. The grandfather sits down. The little kid begins to growl at me. I mean, really growl. Like, I'm sitting there with pretty strawberry waffle trying to eat. And this little kid is growling at me. Wait a minute, God, I'm off duty. I done preached 7 days. I'm tired. I'm going to go home. This little boy is growling at me, God. I'm sitting there looking at this little kid. I can't, God. The grandfather, he don't even know what's going on. So I'm sitting there looking at this little kid. Serious. He's clawing, trying to get at me or out of the booth. One, I don't know. But his grandfather slid in. He couldn't get out. Selena Covington had come back around and sat down, finished her conversation with the boy's mother. She'd come around and sit down. And when Selena sat down, she goes, he's growling. I said, I know he's growling at me. She said, well, tell him to shut up. I said, you tell him to shut up. He's growling at me, clawing. And I'm just sitting there in amazement. The mother sits down and she goes, yeah, I know. 2 years now I've been trying to calm him down. Something's wrong with him. I said, sure is. And God says, rebuke that Antichrist spirit out of him. I go, what? That little 5-year-old cute little kid's got an Antichrist spirit? How? God said, see that mother? See that grandfather? The grandmother beyond, the mother to that grandfather, practiced witchcraft steadily. That spirit was birthed, went to him, unchecked, went to her, from her, went to that child, and by the fourth generation, it blossomed as the pure Antichrist spirit in a child. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Uh-uh. This is a nice restaurant. I ain't about to jump over there and start calling out the Antichrist spirit, God. I don't even know this lady. Selena, by this time, her eyes are bugged. She's going, do something. Okay. Okay. The mother puts her hand on the brass rail. Selena puts her eye on my hand. I said, we're going to pray. And I said, but first we're going to take care of some other stuff. By the way, lady, you have a very nice husband. You don't deserve him. Now, I don't know why God said that to her. But to confirm something and get her attention, okay? I'm a cliff jumper. I used to not be a cliff jumper. I wouldn't say you couldn't pull it out. But I'm so easy now, and God just, you know, and the Spirit checks me. But anyway, so I said, we're going to pray, but you better love your husband more. You take advantage of him. And by the way, you had that car wreck 2 weeks ago. That's why your neck's hurt. To get you off work, this is all so wild what God started telling her. To get you off work today, you had breakfast at home, but God said, turn in here and go in here. And she said, that's right, I don't know why we're even here. I said, I do. And she said, oh, you're going to heal my neck? And I said, later. It's not why God brought you. A lot of times when you get sick or you have an ailment, God wants to try and get you to a point of submission and need of prayer to deal with something else. So know that, folks, when you pray for people. I'm going to have to hurry up, Lynn. The tape ran out. I need to get to the good part, Glenn, then I'll shut up. I promise. I know what you think, and I'll shut up. I'm not going to read one more scripture. I know what he told me already. I'm going to quit after I finish this story. Okay. I know it. Okay. I got a big daddy. He's going to whoop you. I said, God brought you in here not to deal with your hurt neck, not to heal your daddy's heart. I said, a heart attack? She said, how'd you know? She said, I'm taking him to the doctor right now. He's having chest pains. I said, oh, God, heal that too. And he don't even know what's happening. He's over in La La Land going, duh. And I said, let's cover that. And I grabbed my heart and said, okay, in the name of Jesus. And man, it starts a burning fire. And I'm looking at him and he's turning red up his neck. And he's scratching like this. I know the Holy Spirit's healing. Because I've experienced that before when I pray for people. They start itching all over. Something's happening in here. You know? Well, he started itching. So I said, okay, take care of him now. But I said, we're going to bind and rebuke and repent for witchcraft. And by the time we get from your grandmother, great-grandmother, to your father, to you, to that child, that spirit will be gone. And we went right down the road. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. God did. We didn't do nothing. We just spoke the word. The little boy melted. Y'all believe me, his little ears were pointed. And they melted smooth. His whole countenance just changed. It just melted off of him. And he sat at that table, picked up some crayons, and began to just draw. And just be the sweetest little spirit. It was the Word. It wasn't me. It wasn't Selena. It was the Word. Now do you know why? If the Word is not in you, there'll be no power. There'll be a lot of love and compassion, but you got to have the power. The power is in the Word of God. God spoke and things came into existence. Peace came into existence in that little boy. I flew home and I was tired. And she prayed for me at the airport, Lord, refresh him. And y'all, this happened. I don't care what y'all think. Y'all think I'm weird anyway, it doesn't matter. I was on that little plane going over that big lake. I'm going, God, I don't like little planes. I'm a big person. Give me a big 747. I don't like these little planes. You know. And I had gone over by myself on the way over. And I just knew that God was going to kill me in the air because I was the only one on that plane. And there was two pilots and a stewardess. And she was back there hanging on. I'm going, if she's hanging on, what am I going to do? You know. And we're in a thunderstorm over that big old lake up there. And where that's at by Detroit. Bouncing. In one of those little planes, you know, the kind where you hear and see and know everything. You know, it's happening. And the little seats are like this. You know, little people can sit real comfortable. I took two. And I wish I'd had a third. But anyway, I knew God. I said, God, did you bring me up here to kill me? This is not funny. About that time we landed, I said, okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean that, God. But anyway, we're on the way back. And y'all, as soon as we took off, y'all, this happened. Because I did like this. Ice particles, refreshing. I mean, just like that all over me. Plane's got a hole in it. I'm like this. I'm looking for ice somewhere. And I thought, well, the stewardess is throwing things at me. And I look back. She's asleep back there. Ice, just refreshing. Just, I felt like $1 million when I got off that plane. Totally refreshed. When God does it, wow. You see, that's what God's doing this week. He's going to do it. He's cleansing this campground. He's bringing down the principalities and the powers. He's going to destroy false teachings, vain imaginations, vain babbling. Don't come here to get tickled no more. If you've got disease there, don't just scratch it. Dig it. Well, Glenn, it's 10 after 12. You want to stop or you want to cover? There's about three more here. I don't care. Go ahead. Talk real fast. Jebusites, J-E-B-U-S-I-T-I-E-S, the gospel of peace. That's your shoes. The Jebusite spirit is squirming to go barefoot and get them shoes off. Jebusite literally means trodden down, threshing floor, to trample, to loathe, to tread down, be underfoot, be polluted. He is the poor me.
Oh, oh, well, everything's woo-hoo.
He's the birth of the pessimist.
Oh, my gas is, it's half empty.
No, it's half full.
No, it's half empty. Nothing good ever happens to me. God must not like me. My dog died.
Well, good, it ain't too much anyway.
Everything's sad. We know those types of our flesh, don't we? We give a big pity party and nobody shows up. It's so sad. Poor me. I'm so trodden down. God says, be at peace. No, I don't want to. I want to feel sorry, but nobody else does. I have to. Oh.
Flesh. Okay. There's two spirits sent to yank them shoes of peace off of you, and it's the lying spirit from 2 Chronicles 18:22, and the spirit of bondage. It's going to bind you in all that trodden downness. Spirit of bondage puts something on you, and you cannot get it off. You are bound down. And his job is to hold you down. God wants your feet up and moving, and you come home, I'm so tired, I just can't, God. And you put your feet in that easy chair, and you lean back, and you men that have the bear spirit that wants to hibernate in front of that TV, I deserve to sit here. I worked hard all day. Woman, get me my plate. Get them kids to shut up and leave me alone. I work hard. I deserve a rare back here, you lazy bear, you. Get up. Get out of the cave. Take your kid for a walk. Hug him. You don't deserve to lay back there. When you need rest, God will give you rest. You don't hibernate in front of that TV. Okay, moving right along. Spirit of fear and spirit of infirmity. The fear comes in 2 Timothy 1:7. Spirit of infirmity comes from Luke 13:11. And guess what they work in conjunction with in your flesh? The Hittite spirit, flesh. Hittite means terror, to break down either by violence or confusion. How many know it's almost impossible to have faith if you are confused about what's going on? The opposite of faith is fear. They called fear of men off me last time I was here. I go, what? I ain't afraid of nobody. Yeah, you are, you big baby. I ain't now. I don't care what y'all think. It don't matter. I mean, I like you, but I ain't afraid of you. I'm so afraid of ordained men of God that I'd cower when they came around. I'd be intimidated. I wouldn't dare get in the pulpit and preach. They had the credentials. They've been to seminaries. I'm going to take a big breath on that one. Hallelujah. The flesh side of you will say, you got cancer. And you're going to say, I don't care. If God wants me, I'm His. You ain't taking me till I'm ready, and God's ready for me. You'll have victory when you get to the point where you can truly say and mean it, I don't care. It doesn't matter, you foul, lying, intimidating spirit, because my God reigns in my life. And it don't matter. Job sitting there, and they said, your house blew down and killed your kids. Okay. The CB's raided all your camels. Okay. I mean, everything's flat, gone. And bless your lovely sweet wife. She comes down the front porch. She's laying out there with them scabs and just in the pits. And she said, well, just curse God and die, Job. Thanks for the encouragement. God wanted to make sure he went all the way down the road. Some of us try to get off God's highway and on a rest stop. I'm here to tell you there's not one rest stop on God's highway.
Amen.
There is not a rest stop. Those of us who want to pull over and get to a big church and get lost, that ain't from God. You're either actively working in God's army or congratulations, welcome aboard, you're now enlisted in Satan's army. And when God told me, I go, wait, just because I don't want to do this and this and this, doesn't mean I'm working for him. Yes, it does, boy. You're either walking this direction, and walk means walk in the Spirit every day. You're walking, action, you ain't standing still, you ain't laying under a tree, you ain't sitting on a stump somewhere pondering the Word of God, you're up and going somewhere with it, or you're walking the other way. And if you haven't run into Satan lately, it's because you're probably going the same way he is. If you're walking again him, you're going to meet him. Ooh, here he comes again. I'm almost through, I think. That's faith. That's Hittite. That's fear. That's written. Everybody's got fear about something, so don't worry about it. But it's not a spirit of fear. It's your flesh fear. Begin to ask yourself, well, what am I afraid of losing? Name them. Set them up on the table.
Yeah.
Name everything that you're afraid of losing. And then thump those idols over one by one. Anything you're afraid of losing is an idol, including your mate. God becomes ahead of your mate, y'all. He won't separate people, but he wants you to love him more than anything else. And I hear more people say, I can't serve God because my mate won't let me. You can serve God where you are and still be in God's divine order in the household. There is a way. That's a whole other thing. That's over here. We'll talk about that one of these days.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.